It isn't just the Obama administration we need to worry about in this debate over drones. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michael.
And as always, it's great to be back with you. Not quite as nice tonight as it was yesterday, but hey, springtime in Ohio, or not quite springtime in Ohio. I guess it's still officially winter, so take what we get.
Yeah, and I think we'll be glad of it, too. So, Chuck, we've been talking for a few days now because it's been the hot topic in the news. Do right, I believe. And this is this whole issue over the Obama administration and the use of unmanned aerial aircraft or drones and whether or not they should be used or could be used or should legally be allowed to be used to carry out assaults on American citizens on U.S. soil. And this all stemmed from the debates they had in Congress and the Senate, Senator Rand Paul standing with a 13-hour filibuster, forcing the Attorney General Eric Holder to come up with a letter that supposedly answered the question that he asked, but raised more questions than it answered. The nomination and eventual confirmation of John Brennan as the next CIA director. But in all of that, Chuck, the one thing that really stands out to us political types who are really paying attention to this is not so much all of that drama between the Obama administration and some members of the United States Senate, but it's much more to do really with the internal struggle that's taking place within the Republican Party. I'll give some credit here as well. There's a little bit of a struggle taking place in the Democratic Party over this issue as well, because you had a number of Democrat senators, including, I believe, Ron Wyden of Oregon, who stood up and supported Rand Paul's filibuster against the Obama administration's pick for the CIA director, mainly not because of John Brennan, but because of this issue with using unmanned aircraft, militarized unmanned aircraft, to potentially kill American citizens who the administration believes are enemy combatants, however they define that term. But it's that whole idea of the struggle within the Republican Party, because as we mentioned in a previous program, what happened was almost immediately after Rand Paul got done with his 13 hours of filibustering was that at least two or three of his colleagues on the Republican side of the Senate pulled out the long knives and started trying to fillet Rand Paul and those other senators who stood with him because of this whole idea that somehow his use of the filibuster and his standing on this issue was, well, let's put it this way, I think they called him Wacko Birds.
Wacko Birds. And as Justin Amash, who's a congressman from Michigan, tweeted, he is a congressman in the federal Congress, in the House of Representatives from the delegation of Michigan, tweeted on his account, he said, "Where did you get that Wacko Birds at your dinner with Obama?" So I think that was the exact question I would have asked. And the fact is, what we're witnessing here, Barry, and I titled last Saturday's program on this basis, because we talked a little bit about this. We kind of thought ahead, and this person is basically articulating some things that we talked about. I said the old guard has occupied an untenable position, because this position is untenable. Basically, what they're saying is they want to play old-style Senate with senators playing loyal opposition while they have dinner with the president and blah, 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 while Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and a handful of other senators were doing combat on the floor of the Senate. Essentially, McCain, Graham, Coburn, the list goes on and on. We're having dinner with the President of the United States, not even paying attention to the filibuster. So I guess I shouldn't be surprised that these guys are attempting to bring out the long knives and assassinate the character of Paul. The thing about it is that Paul's kind of a new breed, and he's not allowing himself to be assassinated. And neither are Ted Cruz, who also was a victim of the long knife attempt. I even read one article, very interestingly, that basically says that part of this has to do with John McCain's attempt to get revenge at the hands of partly Ron Paul in the South Carolina primary in 2000. So there's all kinds of stuff out there floating around. Apparently, Senator McCain has a reputation for taking revenge long after the fact. So anything possible with this pact?
Well, it very well could be, and it really doesn't surprise me very much. And honestly, John McCain's, shall we say, performance the day after this filibuster and into the weekend really should bring home a point to just about everybody who's paying any attention of the real reason why he lost in 2008. It wasn't because of Sarah Palin and the Tea Party folks and the ticket. It was because John McCain is an accommodator to whoever is in power.
Oh, he's a first-rate accommodator.
He was an accommodator, and he accommodated to Barack Obama even during the campaign against him. Now, it's interesting because, Chuck, you sent me an article, and we're going to post this up online, ladies and gentlemen, from a little paper called the DailyInterlake.com, and I believe that this is out of Whitefish, Montana. But this is great because an editorial writer from the Daily Interlake by the name of Frank Mealy wrote an article called Power versus Liberty, A Lover's Quarrel. And he's talking about the whole difference between the John McCain wing of the Republican Senate caucus and the Rand Paul wing of the Republican Senate caucus, liking it to debate between Jefferson and Hamilton. Obviously, knowing that the Paul wing is the Jeffersonian wing, whereas without a doubt in the world, the Hamiltonian wing of the Republican Party.
When you dropped out for a second, you said McCain was no doubt the...
Yes, the John McCain-Lindsey Graham wing is no doubt the Hamiltonian wing of the Republican Party.
And we don't have time to go into that, but I would concur with that without doubt. Anybody who knows the political philosophies of those two movements, this is absolutely the case.
Well, I would just point people, Chuck, since we don't have time to really go into it, go to our website at principledpolicy.com and look at our series we wrote on a book called Hamilton's Curse. We did a 10-part book review for you on this, and if you just go read through that, it'll tell you all you need to know about the Hamiltonian wing of the world.
That's right, and it's on the left-hand side under the box that says series. If you click on that, you'll get a list of the entire series. I forget how many parts we wrote that in. 9, I think. Yeah, it's in 9 parts, and you can read up about that. But I saw this article when I first read through it. I would take exception to the fact that Power and Liberty is a lover's spat. This is an incompatible couple who never should have gotten married in the first place. Now fighting
well,
it out about it.
You know, I agree with you only to a certain extent because I have to hearken back to Jefferson's words about the Constitution. And it's one of my favorite phrases that we use in our IOTC class, and I drill into every class I teach. They probably hear this phrase from me 30, 40 times in a 12-week course. And it's the phrase that every word in the document, the Constitution, determines a question of both power and liberty. So I see that when it comes to this struggle within the Republican Party, that there is that struggle and that dichotomy. You know, the big problem is that they're both fighting over the power side and the liberty side are both fighting over which one's going to be ascendant. In other words, whose definition is going to be the prevailing one? In other words, which dictionary are we going to use?
Well, that's true. Here's the problem, though, Barry, philosophically. The Jeffersonian wing is about eschewing control and power. The Hamiltonian wing is about concentrating and centralizing control and power. And necessarily, because the Jeffersonian wing does not want to use, or pardon me, abuse its authority, it usually ends up on the bottom. Because the Hamiltonian people are essentially saying the end justifies the means.
Well, yes.
And that's why I say it's an incompatible couple. Now, when Jefferson got in office, he wasn't 100% true to his political philosophy. And let me just say, too, that Alexander Hamilton, I think, would roll over in his grave if he saw what his political philosophy had spawned.
Well, that's a possibility, yes. So
did not have this in mind.
But I find it interesting because in this article from Fred Mealy in the Daily Interlake, he says this way. And he says, well, maybe it was all that attention Rand Paul was getting that forced an open confrontation between him and the old dogs of the Republican Senators Club. After all, Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham and a delegation of GOP poobahs were dining with President Obama at the Plush Jefferson Hotel at the same time Senator Paul was auditioning for the Jimmy Stewart role in the remake of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. And then he goes on to say, McCain and Graham are used to chewing up the scenery in the long-running D.C. soap opera, So they may well have resented having to give up top billing to a political neophyte. Who knows? Maybe they had principled reasons for attacking their fellow senator, but it sure looks as if they just didn't like watching their hold on power slipping away. In an interview with the Huffington Post, McCain dissed Senator Paul as just one more of the quote-unquote wacko birds who are giving the Republican Party a bad name. Note the emphasis on party, because to politicians like McCain, party is the equivalent of power, and whatever damages the party brand puts his own hold on power at risk. I think that's a very insightful commentary, Chuck, on this, because I think that's exactly what the problem is. They are worried that the reins of control of the party is moving. John McCain is probably one of the oldest of the old dogs in the Republican Senate. And it was interesting because his campaign in 2008 was very reticent about going negative on Barack Obama because he was a fellow member of the Senate. But it didn't stop him one minute from attacking an active fellow member of the Senate who was in his own caucus when he felt that that may be tarnishing the brand.
Well, again, the end justifies the means. You can do whatever you need to do at any given time to attempt to maintain your own position. It's a sad example, but it makes it very clear about what's going on. And I like something that's said in the next paragraph in this article.
Okay.
Graham was even more obtuse in his response to Senator Paul's filibuster. He decided to reverse himself and support Brennan, not out of principle, but just to thumb his nose at Senator Paul. Well, first of all, Lindsey Graham has no principle. And frankly, I don't think John McCain does either. Basically, they have pragmatism, not principle. Now, of all the bad reasons to vote for someone to run a government agency, Barry, to get back at someone who you're mad at in the Senate in your own party, this exactly illustrates what I'm saying. The end justifies the means.
Right, and it shows the dysfunctionality of those who are desperate to hang on to the trappings of their office instead of dealing with the principles that they are supposed to be standing for.
And as the author points out, this isn't a battle that's just going on in the Republican Party because...
Oh, no.
There were Democrats that broke ranks on this. Now, only one came to Paul's aid, as far as I know. But there were others. There's a kind of a whispering campaign starting to go on, and you can hear the echoes of it out there if you start reading some of the blogs. But the Democrats are getting the picture. In fact, if you listen to yesterday's show, the fellow that wrote that article in the New York Times, and I would suggest you go to www.principlespolicy.com if you want to hear that show, that fellow is not exactly a Republican stalwart. I'm sure he has probably never been to a Tea Party meeting. He's far more radical to the left than that. And that is exactly what's going on in the Democratic Party, because these guys can see this is a dangerous abuse of power. And the whole thing really wasn't over Brennan, although Brennan's a real piece of work. John Brennan, I don't know, Barry, if you heard how he took his oath of office.
Yes, he took it on a draft copy of the Constitution that was George Washington's draft that did not include the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, exactly. Barry, that I would ask, under what circumstances do you put your hand on a Constitution to swear your oath to it? It's not a divine document. It's not a document of higher authority. It's based on higher authority, but it is not a higher authority document. Under what circumstances do you place your hand on that to take your oath? I frankly found that symbolism a little frightening.
Yes.
But in any case, this guy's a real piece of work. One of the reasons Paul picked this one was because A, it was convenient. B, Brennan has come out for use of drone strikes. And years ago, 30-plus years ago, we went through a whole thing where the CIA was outlawed from doing political assassinations. Is not the use of drones in combat a form of a political assassination? Not exactly the same, but the CIA is not supposed to be involved in combat. It's an intelligence gathering agent. So what's it doing being involved in killing people? This is a problem, Barry. I see many, many, many... many, many problems with this issue, and I think Rand Paul did us a big favor by doing the big expose on this and getting this debate stirred up. And everybody thought that that Holder letter was going to be the end of it. No, it seems to be the beginning, and that's a good thing. Well, as I look at the clock, we are out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.